Picture this, a 3-year-old contentedly savoring beets, blue cheese, and fish without complaint. No tantrums, no separate kid meals, just a child enjoying the same food as adults. This isn't fantasy. It's everyday life in France, where children routinely eat everything from escargot to blood sausage with genuine pleasure. When Karen LeBillon moved her family from Vancouver to Brittany, she discovered this French food paradox firsthand. Her picky daughters, Sophie and Claire, initially resisted, but gradually transformed into adventurous eaters through French food education. What makes this cultural approach so effective? The secret lies not in special recipes, but in how the French view food education, treating healthy eating as a skill to be taught with the same importance as reading or math. Their approach has sparked a movement, challenging Western assumptions about what children can and will eat. Parents, you are in charge of your children's food education. This first French food rule is simple yet profound. French parents approach this responsibility with gentle authority, viewing healthy eating habits as essential life skills requiring deliberate teaching. I discovered this when scolded for giving my daughter a cookie in a French store, but you'll spoil her appetite. In France, food is never used as a pacifier, distraction, bribe, or reward, unlike North American practices where snacks routinely pacify children. The French believe such approaches create impulsive eating habits and unhealthy emotional connections to food. French children maintain a reverential attitude toward food. Meals have a ceremonial quality, with tablecloths dressing the table. Rules are straightforward. Eat only at the table, never while standing or on the go, and wait for everyone to be served before saying bon appétit. Children learn these habits by eating with parents, making meals social occasions rather than mere nourishment. The French canteen reveals the most dramatic difference in children's food cultures. Unlike American cafeterias serving pizza and nuggets, these function like restaurants with cordon bleu quality food overseen by nutritionists. I was shocked to find only one daily meal option, featuring beets, fresh fish, and cheese courses. When my picky daughter Sophie came home crying after eating nothing on her first day, I arrived with a packed lunch the next day. The teacher firmly explained they couldn't allow exceptions and invited me to tour the canteen. I discovered a chef preparing fresh meals from scratch, proper place settings with cloth napkins, and children spending at least 30 minutes at the table by government decree. Their philosophy centers on health through nutritious food, educating palates, and disciplining eating habits. This system functions as a peer pressure-driven food diversification program. It includes formal food education through La Semaine du Goût, Taste Week, each October, when chefs visit classrooms and children explore food using all 5 senses. After my failed first attempt at implementing French food rules, which ended with Sophie refusing dinner and going to bed hungry, I realized my critical mistake. I had turned mealtime into a power struggle, forgetting 2 pillars of French food culture: making eating socially pleasurable and ensuring food tastes good. Christmas dinner at my husband's aunt's house revealed a better approach. With family around, no one micromanaged the children's eating. My daughters, influenced by their cousins and the festive atmosphere, tried new foods without pressure. French families establish eating routines early, with children absorbing habits through observation. My new goal became simpler. By March, the kids would enjoy 10 new foods. The breakthrough came when my mother-in-law served spinach puree with butter arranged as smiling faces. This playful approach worked immediately. Both girls cleaned their bowls. I replaced negative language with positive messaging and ensured we parents ate exactly what the children ate, as parental modeling is the strongest predictor of children's eating habits. The French approach to structured eating schedules challenged me deeply. French children eat exactly 4 daily meals with no snacking between, a practice reinforced by cultural norms and schools. This contrasts sharply with North American children, who typically snack 3 to 4 times daily. I initially resisted, defending snacking with arguments about children's small stomachs and blood sugar levels. After tracking our family's eating patterns and discovering my children consumed more calories from snacks than dinner, I decided to adopt the French approach. To ease the transition, I involved my daughters in planning weekly goûter menus with three rules: no repeating items within a week, alternating fruits/vegetables with sweet treats, and chocolate only once weekly. They created diverse menus featuring crepes with jam, baked apples, and cucumbers with herbed yogurt dip. The breakthrough came when I overheard Sophie telling her hungry sister, "That means you'll really appreciate your dinner. It's in 2 hours." She had internalized the French view of hunger, not as an emergency, but as anticipation for the next meal. Despite Philippe's statistics showing French parents work as hard as Americans, I struggled with French mealtimes. Americans spend just over an hour eating daily, while the French devote more than 2 hours to their meals. Unlike North Americans, who view food primarily through a health lens, the French connect it with pleasure, following their eighth food rule: take your time for both cooking and eating. Slow food is happy food. For them, eating isn't about nutrition or calories, it's about enjoyment through slowing down and sharing. My resistance to slow food dissolved after Philippe's swine flu scare. During his recovery, we launched our slower food experiment with two mottos: Philippe's, manger bien et juste, eat well and right, and my simpler, slow food is good food. We created a French music playlist for cooking, and I discovered mindful eating, something so natural in French culture they hadn't named it. I realized cooking could be an act of love and delight rather than a race. We introduced this concept to our girls using déguster, to eat slowly and appreciatively. Returning to Vancouver revealed North American eating habits I'd missed: eating while walking, fast food in schools, and colleagues having chips for breakfast. Sophie struggled with brief school lunches that left her hungry and unable to finish her food. When we relaxed our no snacking rule, we faced conflicts over processed snacks. Sophie's friends choosing Oreos over my French apple tart showed I needed to balance French principles with North American realities. Our hybrid approach maintained family meals when possible, scheduled limited snack times, introduced new foods, preserved mealtime rituals, and encouraged mindful eating. Most importantly, we kept the French emphasis on pleasure. Food remained something to enjoy, not merely fuel. What might your family's food revolution look like? Start with one slow family meal, try a new vegetable with playful presentation, or allow hunger to build anticipation for dinner. The French approach isn't about perfection, but cultivating a relationship with food that nourishes body and soul, perhaps the most revolutionary act in our fast-paced world.